I'm joined by the Syrian National Council's executive member, Khalid Salah. Khalid, you were in Russia this week talking to Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, and today the SNC's called for a binding resolution again at the UN Security Council in the wake of this alleged massacre in Tramsa. You're in Moscow. What are the chances of getting such a resolution?
You know, when we had lengthy discussions with the Russian side, I think each party presented where it stands in regards to the Syrian revolution. I think the Russians had some questions, and we made it very clear to them about the red lines that we're not willing to cross, that the revolution on the ground is not willing to cross. The Russians are still talking about a dialogue with the Assad regime. This is not something that the forces on the ground are willing to accept. This is not something that the Syrian National Council is willing to accept. Yes, we want to put an end to the bloodshed that's taken place in Syria. However, we believe that the very first step to do that is for the Assad to step down, and for himself to step down, and for those who bloodied their hands with Syrian blood to also leave the government. The Russians, although they say that they are not holding firmly to Assad in one sentence, in the next sentence they're asking us still to have a dialogue with him. So they're giving us two different positions within 60 seconds.
As I say, you're at those meetings. Did you feel you left completely empty-handed?
I think we've made some progress. In a sense, the Russians need to hear from us loud and clear where we stand. I think it was, semi-promising that the Russians are saying that we're not holding firm to Assad, we're not insisting on him remaining in power. We discussed holding future further talks with the Russians to try and bring the two sides closer together. I think at the same time, some parts of the Russian delegation was more understanding than other parts. So they understand that there is a very heavy price for their delay. They understand that their delay tactics that they've used until now are really supporting the Assad and the killing of the Syrian civilians.
The Security Council meets again today. There are more negotiations. What do you think is going to come of it?
We're pushing very hard. In all honesty, we started this revolution. I keep on repeating this. We started this revolution without asking the permission of the Arab League or the Security Council. If the international community, if the Security Council wants to step up and meet its legal and moral obligation, that would be excellent. That will save us lots of bloodshed in Syria. If they're not willing to do so, this is a revolution that we started, and this is a revolution that we will finish off. It will just—it will require more Syrians lose their lives in order for us to get rid of the dictatorship of the Assad. We are monitoring the situation very closely at the UN. We're monitoring, of course, the situation very closely on the ground. At this point in time, we don't believe that the Annan mission had any chance of succeeding. After the massacre that took place yesterday, we believe that Annan should really declare that there's no chance for his mission. That the Syrian regime had made it very clear that they are insisting on killing any chance for a peaceful transition of the government in Syria.
Do you think the massacre, apparent massacre in Tramsa, will make any difference to the Russian and Chinese positions?
I doubt it, unfortunately. I think it puts more pressure on them, but I think they have lots of more strategic interests that they seem to be calculating. We've lost up to 17,000 people in Syria. Yes, the massacre yesterday was horrible, but I would have thought that the number of 17,000 killed in Syria would have moved them. At this point in time, I think the white and the black and the matter are very clear. And I think the international community, Russia, China, need to make a decision of what side they want to stand. They want to stand next to.
Some of our readers are asking, why do we always get reports of these massacres just as the Security Council is meeting?
Well, so here's what I think. I think if you think about it from the Assad regime's perspective, it is very clear that any political or an international solution at this point will mean the end of the Assad regime. I think the Assad regime had also lost hope in the international community, and the Assad understands that eventually an international solution is going to come, and it's going to mean him leaving power. I think the Assad regime, in all committing all these massacres, it's really talking to the people, to his shabiha, to his forces on the ground. I think these massacres, unfortunately, increase the morale of the Assad gangs or killers that are committing these massacres. It's the same thing when the Assad shot down the Turkish airplane. Why would he do something like that? Just, you know, and then try on a second day attack a second Turkish airplane just a day before NATO was going to meet. Assad doesn't really care about the international community at this point. Yes, he gets support from Russia and China, but what he is trying to do, what he is focused on, what he understands that he is going to win this battle on the ground. So he's doing all he can to raise the morale of his troops. And unfortunately, that's what's happening. It's a sad reality where committing massacres like these will increase the morale of the gangs. But that's what we are dealing with. We are dealing with an actual institution. You are dealing with armed gangs that are committing massacres against civilians.
The opposition isn't exaggerating the claims to put more pressure on the Security Council.
No, I mean, this is very well documented. Very well documented. We were very careful about trying to see the numbers. Initially, the numbers came out and said 250, but then we said, okay, you guys need to document every picture. We need to document every person. So the number dropped down to 250, although we have a number of bodies that we're not able to identify. We would love for the international media to come in and just see the horrible massacres that are taking place. At this point in time, the Tumor Revolution is the most well-documented revolution, about 1.5 million videos that really track every victim, his name, his family, where he lived. So it's difficult to say that these are exaggerated.
Okay, Khaled, thanks very much for talking to us. Thank you,
sir.